reference.
So it's John chapter 10, verses 1 to 15. The shepherd and his flock. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
We thank God for his holy and inerrant word. Amen. In the 1800s, a Christian thinker called George Bethune said, perhaps no grace is less prayed for or less cultivated than gentleness. Indeed, it is considered rather as belonging to natural disposition or external manners than as a Christian virtue. And seldom do we reflect that not to be gentle is sin. And the person who commented, we pray for patience, we pray for love, we pray for purity and self-control, but who of us ever prays for the grace of gentleness? And as this gentleman said, this is due to our attitude to gentleness. Because we have an idea, I think, many of us, and it's a very reasonable idea, I guess, looking around us, that gentleness is something that some people have and some people haven't. It's a natural disposition. Some people are by nature gentle people. Some people are by nature more confrontational, more the opposite of gentleness is. But the Bible says that gentleness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is why the theme for today is gentleness, because we find it in that list which we've been going through in Galatians 5. Gentleness as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because actually, natural temperament in this context can be very deceptive. Because an outward appearance of gentleness can be masking or caused by a variety of things which have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. We may have a gentle disposition because we are afraid of offending others. Something that the Bible actually warns against, the fear of man. We use gentleness as a means of controlling others. You know, the human condition is very resourceful, and we find all sorts of ways of getting our own way. Even being gentle can be a means of control. Sometimes we are gentle on the outside, but it masks an inner rage. There's an inner anger boiling in us. But because been taught that anger is wrong, or because we're just basically nice people, the anger stays inside and the gentleness is on the surface. There are many people, I think, like Raoul Moat. Everybody loved him because he was a gentle man. Suddenly it exploded and he went on that spree of violence. But this morning we're looking at the gentleness which is produced by the Holy Spirit in us, the gentleness of Jesus Christ. And the Greek word which we find in Galatians 5, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but the fact is that as with many, many Greek words in the Bible, there is no exact English translation. We use gentleness, but actually it's a concept that encompasses many different things. Humility, courtesy, considerateness, graciousness, especially an attitude which we have towards others. And maybe we don't pray for it often because it isn't something we really wholeheartedly want. Because gentleness, we feel, makes us vulnerable. It can be interpreted as weakness. In fact, Paul, the apostle, had that problem. In 2 Corinthians 10, beginning of that chapter, we find him appearing to sort of defend himself almost against the charge that he's weak because he comes on strong in his letters, but then when he's with people, he's gentle. And he has to try and deal with that. And maybe that's a fear that we have, that if we're gentle, people will ride roughshod over our needs and our opinions. And but as an encouragement, I think I found this little quote from a 17th century bishop. He said, "Nothing is so strong as gentleness, nothing so gentle as real strength." Now, you may or may not be minded this morning to learn from a 17th century bishop, but let's learn this morning from Jesus. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And this morning, we're going to just explore briefly that image that Jesus uses, the shepherd and his flock. A Sunday school favorite, all the pictures we have of Jesus with a lamb in his arms, carrying it gently and tenderly. And when Jesus used this image, he wasn't plucking it out of the air because he knew that he was the fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah 40, where God describes himself like this: "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." And even before Isaiah was written, the psalmist, of course, in Psalm 23, recognized this about God: "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul." A very gentle, gentle image, gentle picture of God. We use it routinely in funerals because it's comforting. It's a gentle image. But it's also a robust image. I mean, if we just read on a little bit in Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me." There's something robust about this gentle God. And if we think about the work of a shepherd, and it's a robust life. David, you remember, when he comes to meet Goliath, he says, "I'm not bothered about this giant because I've been tending my father's sheep, and I have killed a lion, and I've killed a bear. I'm not bothered about this human giant." It was part of the work of the shepherd. And examining this passage, just in John 10, we get a fuller picture of the shepherd Jesus and the gentleness of the shepherd Jesus. Jesus is gentle towards us, his flock. He is the God of Isaiah 40. And we're called to be gentle towards each other. Philippians 4:5 says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." And this particularly in our dealings with each other in the fellowship, particularly maybe in when it comes, the rubber hits the road in matters of church discipline. We have this injunction from in Galatians 6, brothers, if someone is caught in sin, who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, it says, or you may also be tempted. But you know, a shepherd would do everything to stop a sheep from putting itself into danger. Someone was telling me just the other day that I don't know if it still happens, but in those days, a shepherd would actually break the leg of a lamb to stop it from running persistently into danger in order to save its life. And so there are occasions where we believe that someone, a brother or sister in Christ, is running into spiritual danger, and we take it to them very gently, speaking the truth in love, remembering Jesus, of course, warning about the plank and the speck, that we are to be more eager to learn than to teach. But a large part of the shepherd passage is concerned with something which is far from gentle. It's concerned with the battle. The shepherd protects his flock from attack. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The thief, very clearly in this passage, alludes to the devil and all that he would use to draw us away from God, to rob us of the fullness of life which Christ came to bring. The thief is the devil, but our tendency so very often is to be aggressive towards each other and gentle towards the devil. Maybe there's a little bit of the playground bully in human nature. We sometimes tend to go for the soft targets. And we are all soft targets as brothers and sisters in Christ, when actually the devil is our real enemy. Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Too often we war against each other, but we compromise with the devil in order to avoid the real battle, which is uncomfortable. We compromise with him in order to get a sense of peace. We tell ourselves that sin is okay, and we don't take every thought captive. Now the full verse in that, 2 Corinthians 10, says we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And I saw a lovely illustration of this. The preacher said, you know, this is how I do it. I imagine that the thought is over there. The thought comes into my head and I say, come here. Come over here. Come and tell that to him. Come and say what you just said to Jesus. And he said, I'm absolutely, I try to be resolutely and uncompromisingly against those thoughts. I bring them physically to Christ and they melt away. There's nothing gentle about what we need to do in taking thoughts captive, in resisting the devil and seeing him flee away from us. We need not give in to temptation to sin, because sin isn't being gentle with ourselves, it's being duped by the enemy into doing something that will hurt us. Unbelief, judgmentalism, lust, selfishness, pride, unforgiveness. Giving in to these may feel like being gentle on ourselves, but it's misplaced gentleness. We need to put on the full armor of God and take our stand. But there is a gentleness that comes from God. It mirrors the gentleness of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And this is what we need in our dealings with one another and with all people. Matthew 11, Jesus says, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. What do we learn from Jesus? Not to be aggressive, not to be insensitive and proud. Our primary purpose as Christians isn't to teach each other or correct each other, but to love and care for each other. And I'll give you another wise old Christian thinker who said, it is only imperfection that complains of what is imperfect. The more perfect we are, the more quiet and gentle we become towards the defects of others. We need to be known primarily, not as a teaching church, but as a loving church. Because this is the primary sign of a fellowship which is spiritually mature and walking closely with Jesus Christ. And in this regard, Jesus' picture of himself as the gate for the sheep is often overlooked in the sort of excitement of this passage and the more vivid image, I guess, of the Jesus as the shepherd. But in there is this precious picture of Jesus as the gate for the sheep. The gate image saying, I'm not uninvolved, I'm not unconcerned about what the sheep are doing. The gate is there for protection. But I'm not controlling, but liberating. I'm making it possible for the sheep to go and come and find pasture. And so we all need to be in the business of setting each other free to be who we should be in Christ, not seeking to control or impose views, but loving and praying and sacrificing ourselves for each other. This is how Jesus did it. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. He preferred others' needs to his own. He went as a lamb to the slaughter so that we might know forgiveness and the fullness of eternal life. And now that our lives are safe and secure, they're hidden with Christ in God, the call to us, the least we can do is to lay down our lives in love for one another. This is what the biblical call is to gentleness, not a weakness, but strength. I sort of finish with a story we all know. And I love this story. I've always loved this story. I don't know why it's particularly spoken to me. It's not a Christian story at all. A fable. You remember the man who had an overcoat on, and the sun and the wind got together as a contest to see who could get the coat off the man. And the wind blew and blew and blew, and the man pulled his coat, and the wind whipped up a hurricane and battered the man, but all he did was pull his coat tighter and tighter around him. And then the sun came out, shone gently on the man, and man took his coat off. Isn't this the Jesus way? Isn't this the way of the Holy Spirit? Let us emulate Christ, the Good Shepherd, the gentle Savior. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do pray for all the fruit of your Holy Spirit at work in us. We long to have the life of Christ more abundantly, to know him in the power of his resurrection and in his suffering. And so we pray that you will make us more gentle, gentle in spirit, humble in heart. Help us to learn from him who is the way and the truth and the life. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. worship group are going to lead us in a song. And then we're going to have our time of open prayer. And we can pray for things that are going on in the world and for the needs of our community and our fellowship. And we'll pray. Someone would like to pray for guidance and God's blessing on our meeting also.
And stay, sit down for this one. What was it? Nothing is as strong as true gentleness, and nothing is as gentle as real strength.
That's good.
We have a mighty Saviour. We also have a tender Saviour. Yeah. Let's sing.
Savior, hold me fast, soothe this troubled soul at last, and heal the wounds of all that's past. Tender Savior, speak to me, whisper words of hope and peace, and let the tumult in me cease. Tender Savior, and I will not give up this quest till I know child, and show your mercy by and by. Tender Savior, and I will not give up this quest till I know that I am blessed, for I come in my brokenness. Tender Savior, pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. He guides my ways in righteousness, and he anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on his pure delights. and I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, for you are with me, and your rod and staff are the comfort I need to know. And I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. And I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home.
As we close our worship, we ask for God's blessing on our week, and we go knowing that our lives are safe with Christ in God, that He is our protector, our gentle shepherd, the one who guides us and leads us. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and remain with you always. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, just to explain what's going to happen, we're going to have some coffee and tea brought to us, and the children are going to come down. Could you press the button for upstairs, because they're going to have their refreshments as well, and then we're going to, in 5 minutes or so, we can still be drinking our coffees, we can start, and we're going to try our very best to get our meeting done by 1 o'clock at the latest, for the benefit of the children and those who are looking after them. And if we can finish before then, in an hour, that's fine. We won't cut short the business, but we'll try and keep ourselves concise and business-like. So please stay for tea and coffee, even if you can't stay for the meeting, and enjoy fellowship. But those who can, please do. Thank you.
I think it was for sleeping or something. No, it was for his daughter rather for his. Oh, right. So, Martha.
These are both on.
Oh, right. Yeah, thank you too. Cheers.
Haven't seen you for a while.
I've been on holiday.
Where have you been?
Feeding pigs.
Doesn't sound like holiday to me.
Sounds like the prodigal son, doesn't it? No, I don't.
It sounds like the bad part of the prodigal son as well.
That's great fun, actually. No, it's a cousin of mine. They got a small holding up near Worcester, and they were on holiday leading a bunch of kids up the Himalayas or something.